Hello and welcome to a Collector Box Light episode on the Comic Book Page Podcast. My name is John Mayo. In this episode, I will be opening up a subscription box and discussing the contents. Package that is not in front of me right now is the shiny Arctify package.
And I don't think it'll ever be in front of you again.
We've used to do these episodes back when they were the subscription box light.
Yes.
Monthly.
Yes.
And then we switched to kind of bi-monthly. Now we're going kind of quarterly and shifted it to the collector box light. So it's not just subscription boxes. And we've got a few other things we'll get to in this episode on that. But one of the things that was pretty much, I think, in most, if not every episode, and once we discovered it, at least.
Yes.
Was Arctify.
I think it's the only thing that once we discovered it, we stuck with it monthly.
Yeah, but we're recording this in middle of March, covering January, February, and March. And a ways through February, now granted, there were other things going on in life that kind of had us a little, you know, distracted or whatnot. But I realized at one point, I haven't gotten the January Arctify.
Well, and you even, because it bills to my credit card.
Yeah.
So you contacted me and said, hey, check your credit card to make sure, did you get billed for January since I didn't receive it? And I went and I looked at my credit card and I didn't have a charge, which on the one hand, okay, they didn't charge me for something they didn't ship. But then I got really worried on why didn't they charge me? My credit card is fine.
Well, then I went to their website.
Which I don't think was there.
It was a closed for maintenance.
Yeah.
And last I looked a day or two back, it still was.
Well, I Googled basically where's my Arctify, what happened to Arctify, every form of the question I could come up with. I found other people asking the same question.
Yeah, that's about all I found too.
I found a lot of people with the same, I didn't get charged, it didn't get shipped. I found one thing, and I'm not going to say, I feel like I shouldn't say who I think the parent company was, because I'm not positive I'm remembering it right.
Yeah.
But the company is one of the major companies that has like 10 or 12 of these boxes. They still have their website. It's still up fine, but all traces of Arctify is gone.
Well, Arctify had a good product. I liked the shirts, some a lot more than others, but none of them were bad. The price point was right. It was under like $13 or something.
Yeah. Well, and they did what they called a fair shipping price, which was you told them where you were. They told you what the shipping was.
Yeah. They were not gouging you on shipping. And again, $13 tops or whatever. I think it was like 12 something what we wound up paying. Shirt, shipping, everything. And it was good. They were one email away from, I think, a clean exit and a good reputation.
Exactly.
If they had simply said, for whatever reason, we're shutting down. Thank you. It's ending. We've had a good run. Hope you've enjoyed the shirts, you know.
And I think that's why I was so disappointed when I finally found something that said they had a parent company that's still in business, still putting out boxes. It makes me hesitant to get any of the other crates that company does because they might also vanish overnight.
Yeah. The fact that it took us a month or two, and again, we had other stuff going on, but nothing in January, nothing in February, and both in terms of shirts, emails, a website, it just poof, they're gone.
Most of what I saw online was other people that about the time they should have received it, hey, I didn't receive it, and it's like on the Facebook page for Arctify.
Well, and their Twitter feed just stops at the end of December.
Yeah, well, on the Facebook page, their posts were sporadic, but the conversation from other people who received it, and the Facebook page wasn't, people weren't getting responses from the company.
Yeah.
And that goes back to, but if the parent company, if the rest of the company is still in business, they should have had one person checking that Facebook page. They should have put a notice at the top of the Facebook page about what happened. And they should have been letting people know as they were posting, hey, we're really sorry about this. Just have something you can copy and paste in.
Absolutely, because this isn't the first one that is shut down.
No.
And we've gotten some emails from others of, hey, we're closing down. I mean, when Comic Bento did that, Nathan found out, and not the wrong way, but the right way kind of a thing.
Yeah.
And we've had a few others that just, that's it, we're closing up shop. And that's fine. It happens. Not everything goes forever. But for them not to send that out with the last shirt, to send an email out if it happened after that, really poor form.
Yeah. Well, and it gave the impression the company entirely vanished, which takes me back to being aware the parent company and the rest of the company is still there, leaves me with an awkward feeling about doing business with the company.
Yeah, I think it's worth us looking up kind of who was their parent company, what other ones they've got, because if it's any of the ones that we're on the fence on, which is unlikely because we're down to very few boxes left.
I don't think it is, but I'm actually tempted to pause and look it up real fast if I can.
I think it's something we'll use for future reference. I don't think, I mean.
Just wonder if we want to include it here.
I'm going to say no out of kindness.
Yeah, okay. That's fair. It was a good box with a product that was consistently good enough that even if you were disappointed in a shirt or two a year, it was good enough over the collective 12 months that's why I kept saying I think it would be good as like a gift to a college student or someone who was trying to beef up their t-shirt collection.
Because we got, I believe, every shirt they ever did.
Yeah.
Because we found out about them at C2E2 a couple of years back when they were starting.
Yeah. And in fact, we got their kind of first promo shirt at C2E2.
So having been one of those initial customers and such, at least as far as we know, not necessarily the first customer they ever had, but at the beginning, to have not gotten any kind of acknowledgement of them shutting down, very disappointing.
Yeah.
In other news that's not quite as bad, but still frustrating, I had just gotten an email a day or two back for the Firefly cargo crate that is yet again delayed.
I think more and more of the crates with things made in Asia are getting hit by these delays. I think prices are going up. I think shipping times are longer. And I think they're suddenly having to compensate unexpectedly for the changes on the prices and timing of things coming out of Asia that started back in about September.
Yeah, I think there's some definitely logistical hurdles to have on that. But there have been a couple of boxes. The Firefly one, the Star Trek one has had some delays. It's kind of frustrating. And then the other one that we'd been very happy with was the World's Finest.
Yeah.
And it's not going to be in this episode unless it ships like in the next few days. Because, again, we've gone January, February, and through half of March as we record this right now. No sign of it.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure what's up with that.
Yeah, that's interesting.
So we've got a couple of boxes we'll go through tonight and then two other kind of collection things that I thought would be fun to go through.
Let's go for it.
Okay. Okay, the box in front of me now is Loot Gaming, which I know I didn't sign up for.
No.
I know you didn't sign up for.
No.
So I'm thinking this may just be a box that the Loot Crate thing is using as an apology box for one of the other crates.
Yes.
But I could be wrong. We'll find out when we open it. It's a real mystery box. It is like 18 inches long, 6.5 inches wide, and about 5 inches deep.
To me, it kind of looks like a shoebox on steroids.
Like a clown shoebox?
Yes.
Just not quite wide enough?
Yeah.
A clown single shoebox.
There you go. Yes.
All right, let's see what's in this, because I'm curious.
You don't think you ordered a shoe for a one-legged clown?
Pretty sure I didn't. This is one that came back. Actually, I think all the boxes we're going to go through in this sitting all came in January.
Yeah.
So this is the January Loot Gaming something or other box.
That comes with bonus tape.
Yeah, I didn't unseal it properly. Sorry.
I love how you apologize to the listeners and not me.
I may edit all this out.
I just like noticing who matters.
All right, we've got a... We need to find out which box this is so I can update the t-shirt size. It's still double XL, and I'm no longer double XL. It is a white shirt with some kind of video game-looking character or whatnot that I... Oh, it's Soul Calibur. It's the guy with the big axe. I actually played Soul Calibur when it was on Dreamcast way back when. So this is clearly gaming stuff. Yeah. Hopefully there'll be an explanation at the bottom as to why we got it. We've got an Evil Dead 2...
Super Emo Friends?
Yeah, it's a Super Emo Friends... Something is Ash.
Henrietta Versus?
Oh, okay. That works. Yeah, it's a collectible, and I'm not really into either property.
It's inspired by a frightfully funny scene in the cult classic Evil Dead 2. It's a diorama.
Ah.
Okay. I just wanted to know what it was.
Next up, we have an alien Jothribot or whatever, which I'm not quite sure what is, out for a walk, and it looks like it is some sort of, quite sure what this is. I'll give it to the person with the better eyes. I've gotten better lighting in here, but not better enough.
The alien has to tend to his pet just like anyone else, and this is a figure from someone's drawing again.
Ah. Again, not really into that property either.
No.
Ready for the next?
Sure. A beanie.
It's a brown beanie with eyes, and I can't tell what the tag says.
Loot Gaming, Double Fine.
Okay, so nothing too informative as to what property that goes with. This looks like a... certainly for Fallout. It looks like another t-shirt. Again, not being much of a gamer.
We'll see what the answer card says when you get to that.
Yeah.
If you get to that.
We've got a Lootwear Crew Socks for... I'm not sure which. It's the evil clown thing from like Pennywise or It or something like that. I don't know.
I have no idea.
This is not only a gaming thing, it's almost more of a horror sort of a thing.
Yes.
So to say it is not in my wheelhouse is to undersell this. It is completely out of my wheelhouse. We've got a Loot Crate loot pin from September 2017 for Robotic. I think we were out of Loot Crate by that point.
Yeah, we were. This guy's kind of cute, though.
And a Westworld loot pin from January 2018 from Discover. I'm curious about the Westworld TV show.
Yeah, I could check that out with you.
We might want to watch the movie from the 70s first, just to see what it's based on.
Okay.
And then we've got... here, I'll get to the card and then the other thing, which gives it away. This is your Firefly cargo crate gear. This really says something, I think, about what they think their target audience is, because the text on this, it's like a postcard-sized piece of paper. The text is minuscule.
Yes, it's microprint. Yeah, it's
even
like...
you're having problems. I know I'm old and blind, but...
yes, you are. No, it's like a 7-point font, and they have a big, thick border that's about half an inch, at least, around the edge, which jazzes it up, but means they could have used a bigger font size and less border.
Or they could have, I don't know, printed it on a full-size piece of paper so it would be legible.
Yeah. Do you want me to read the whole thing?
Does it basically say it's for the Firefly one that... you know, to make up for the delays.
We wanted to take a moment to thank you for your subscription to the Firefly Cargo Crate. We know the experience on this subscription has not been up to yours or our expectations, and we apologize for that and any frustration it may have caused. Regardless of challenges we faced that were at times out of our control, we have made changes to ensure they have as little impact on the crate as possible, if they occur at all in the future. We are dedicated to getting the crate back on schedule and providing you the amazing items and membership you have come to expect from us. And then these were 6 exclusive crate and looter favorite items, plus some awesome stickers and pins as a special assortment for your September crate. This crate has a higher retail value than I would have expected, and features some of our best Loot Crate products. We are working diligently on putting together some exciting assortments for 2019 of the Firefly Cargo Crate, and look forward to more explorations through the verse. Thank you in advance for your patience and understanding, Team Firefly Cargo Crate.
I appreciate them trying to make up for the delays. We have the United in Serenity Valley Hera sticker and the Sinon sticker. So 2 stickers, which are the only things, I mean, the pins are okay. The Westworld one's probably actually the one item in here that I would say, oh, wow, that's a nice thing.
Yeah.
I appreciate the effort they tried to make, but man, this was such a miss for me in terms of content.
Yeah.
To not even be funny. And even the apology letter, while I appreciate the sentiment in the text, I don't appreciate the fact that it's tiny and illegible.
Well, and I'm sitting here thinking through all of the themes they have. And I mean, I guess I see where they assume if you're into Firefly, you're into gaming. But they have so many other sci-fi type things. I mean, they're the ones who do the Star Trek crate, are they not?
I don't remember off the top of my head, and they may have licensing issues that means they couldn't pull from there or something. So I could see going back into their loot crates and stuff, but this seemed to be...
I guess I'm just thinking that even if you went back through all the loot crates, you could have gone more sci-fi.
You could have, but they may have been limited to what they had on hand.
Yeah.
I personally don't feel these items were of any remote interest to me personally.
Yeah, it's unfortunate.
Yeah, but again, I appreciate they're trying to make it right.
Yeah, I appreciate the effort, definitely.
Again, this came out in January, and I've since gotten another email 2 months after that saying, oh yeah, there's still delays.
Yeah, they're trying.
They're trying, but whatever they've put in place, they're struggling with other issues that hopefully they can resolve.
Yeah.
Move on to the next box?
Yes, please.
Okay, the box in front of me now is the Star Trek Mission Crate. This one came out in January, and it seems to be for Voyager.
Nice.
It is a little over 12 inches by about 9 inches by about 5 inches. And this is by Quantum Mechanics and Loot Crate.
Mm-hmm.
All right, the big item that took up almost half the box is a 7 of 9 Master Series figure, which looks okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I got the hand up in front of her so you can see the
Borg.
Yeah, the Borginess.
So, yeah, not bad. Again, physically, it took up a lot of the box. Next up, and this is one that we need to change the shirt sizes on. I'm really bad about doing that. Is a black t-shirt for the Adventures of Captain Proton.
Oh, that was always fun.
Yeah, and nothing on the back. All right.
But see, that goes into the inside joke category, yeah, which I enjoy.
So that's something you wear at a convention, and people who know, and people who don't.
Yeah, exactly.
So again, very themed for Voyager. Okay, this one I took out of the plastic. It looks to be like a towel, and it's a I'm often amused by human behavior, 7 of 9 kind of silhouette. With the backdrop being kind of the blueprint-like outline of the ship.
Yeah.
I don't really recall her using that phrase. Not a bad sort of towel thing.
Yeah. It's funny. To me, it sounds more like the hologram doctor.
Yeah. Then we've got a magnetic clasp badge for Voyager. It's actually kind of nice.
Which department?
Did they do the department badges, or is it just the bars behind it or the rank?
That I don't recall. The reason I asked was when you signed up for the mission crate, you had to pick your department.
This, again, doesn't seem to have a department thing. I think that was for like Discovery.
Interesting. Okay.
But the badge is nice.
Yeah, it is.
And then we're down to the bottom of the box. We've got the Starfleet Command USS Voyager sticker, which they'd also used a version of to seal the box.
Mm.
Nice to get an undamaged one. We've got a Star Trek Online Age of Discovery redemption code.
Nice.
So we've heard very good things about the game over the years.
Mm-hmm.
So if you haven't played it, while I haven't played it, I do highly recommend it. It seems to be quality stuff.
Yeah.
All right. So we've got the answer key, which is like one of their Star Trek pads or whatever.
Nice.
Before going over the answer key, I wanna go over the back of it where it's even got a little, you know, tag on the back of it. You know, Star Trek Mission Crate, but it's the 003 that I want to mention. This is the third crate we've gotten from them.
Yeah.
I mean, they're doing okay stuff, but they've got to work on getting it out.
Yeah.
And this is another one where the print's not super microscopic, but it's just a little more smaller than I'd like. So a 7 of 9 beach towel, the Voyager decal, which is the stickery thing, the Voyager badge, the 7 of 9 Master Series figure, and the Adventures of Captain Proton t-shirt. So really, yeah, the 5 items plus the Star Trek Online.
Yeah.
So stuff's fine. I'm not upset with any of the items, but it's not one of those, oh, wow, kind of things.
Yeah.
Frankly, for me, the badge knocks it up more than if it hadn't had that. You know what I mean?
I definitely agree. Yeah.
So I'm liking but frustrated by the Star Trek crate, I think would be the way to put it.
Yes.
The lack of frequency with which it comes out does not help it. And they need to put, I think, just a little bit more in there than they have been. Shall we move on?
Yes, please.
Okay, the box in front of me now is a Loot Crate DX box, which I honestly have no idea why it's sitting in front of me. I don't recall ordering a Loot Crate box. Did we order anything from Loot Crate just individually?
Nope.
And we'd already gotten the Firefly apology box.
Open it up. Find out what the mystery is.
This one came just a couple of days after that one. It is 14 inches, maybe bigger means apology, by 10 inches by 5.5 inches. All right, I'm going to...
Go out of order?
I was going to, but I'm not going to. Okay. I pulled out the top thing, which is a t-shirt, but other things immediately caught my eye.
Cheater.
This is a t-shirt for Attack of Titan. Which is like a green, red kind of looking guy reaching his hand out through some clouds or something. I don't know the property. It's like a dark bluish, so it's kind of lost on me.
Yeah, kind of a navy blue
shirt. If it didn't have in the tag area the property, I'd have been lost.
I thought I saw you cheat.
Absolutely.
Okay.
All right. Now, I want to point out this came literally just a few days after the apology crate from Loot Gaming.
Okay.
Remember that Henrietta versus Ash?
Wow, we've never seen that. Oh, wait. Yes, we have seen that
before.
Now
we've got both sides of the diorama. It's the same thing. Remember that brown beanie thing with the eyes we couldn't identify?
Yay, we can now not identify two of them.
We now have the Battleground pin from September 2016. We might have been getting it back then. I don't remember.
That one's kind of cool looking.
And actually, this one they'll get higher marks for. It's a Power Rangers pin from like the original Megazord from Loot Pins from February 2017 for Build.
Okay, I see you are claiming that one.
Yeah, that one I'm claiming. We've now got a...
White box.
A white box. Literally one of those small... It's a Fallout Nuke USB hub.
Okay, reading the barcode is kind of cheating.
It's the text above the barcode. I can't read barcode. Be impressed if I could.
I like the subtle objection you filed to my phrasing.
All right, I'm opening this up because I am a little curious what this one looks like.
About the USB hub you're about to give your sister? Possibly.
It looks, yeah, like a bomb.
I was going to say a football-shaped rocket, but okay,
sure,
a bomb.
Sure, we'll go with that. It's got the square USB to plug in and three USBs out. So, not the most hubby of hubs.
Should I comment on your phraseology?
Nope. Just move on. And we've got a Yumi pint glass. This is a Loot anime thing. Art's not bad.
No, she's kind of cute.
A little heavy, pint glass. But go
figure. It is.
And we've got a pair of Gremlins crew socks. And I'm going to say it is the same basic looking Firefly cargo crate gear apology letter.
The last one was a September Firefly apology.
It's the same micro print. They didn't have time to amp up the font size between the few days difference.
Yeah, it is the same. Oh, this is for your July crate.
So we may have actually gotten them out of order.
Yeah.
That's funny. So they sent apology crates to people who'd been subscribing for multiple months and included some of the same items.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
It's very much what they had on hand. It's,
yeah.
I mean, again, I appreciate them trying to do the apology, but I mean, the pint glass is not bad. It's just, it's such a miss for me in terms of content, which again, it's, I was targeted towards Firefly. I'd have taken DC. I'd have taken Marvel. I'd have taken sci-fi. I'd have taken a lot of things.
Yeah.
But going for Gremlins and Evil Dead 2 type stuff, it's just not my wheelhouse.
Yeah.
So hopefully they'll get the Firefly crate back on schedule.
Yeah.
Shall we move on?
Yes, please.
Okay, this next segment is a little different than what we've done and possibly the first of recurring kind of a thing. They've just finished a few weeks ago airing Lupin Ranger versus Pat Ranger, which is the Cops versus Robbers Super Sentai. So what I've got here are the toys I got for that season. Now, I've been getting the toys for many, many years, and I want to push that collection back and stuff. So I figured, season's over, let's kind of go through. And they've got tons of toys you can get. I try to limit to just what I kind of call the objects of power, the morphers, the changing devices and stuff. Now, for this season, and it'll be interesting to see if they ever adapt this to Power Rangers, and if so, kind of how they do it, because there were two competing teams. Basically, aliens had come and caused some problems, caused some people to get, you know, apparently killed or whatever. And because they were going after what was known as the Lupin collection of again, objects of power that provided, you know, the ability to do this, that, or the other. And the aliens could tap into that. So some people get powered up and they are the gentleman thieves trying to steal back the collection. Now, Lupin is a character from the anime and stuff over there that they're referencing, although not explicitly, is a great master thief. Actually, it's actually a French character. Lupin the Third is a kind of a Japanese great, you know, the grandson of, kind of. So that's the thieves' side. And then you've got police to go catch the thieves that then get similar power-ups, the same morpher but different devices. So what they did is they offered the morpher, which in this case is a gun-type device, with either the Red Ranger thief device or the Red Ranger cop device.
Hmm. Okay. Interesting.
So the cops have like a tie and shoulder pads, kind of a police uniform-ish motif, whereas the villains have like a top hat kind of a thing superimposed on their helmet. Capes, and frankly, a much cooler looking costume, in my opinion.
That's fine.
So, in that case, I went with the thief version of the changer. And basically, like I said, it's a gun that you can twist kind of left or right, depending which side you're on, cops or thieves. There's the dial fighters, which the thieves have, which in this case are like a jet or some other things, with like a combination dial, because they would crack into the safe.
Yes.
Okay. And these can be used, the ganglers, I think is what they were called, the aliens, have safes on them where they store the Lupin collection piece that gives them their power. So the villains have to take their, you know, widget, in this case, the fighter jet, you know, dial fighter, put it on the safe, it unlocks it, you know, kind of cracks the safe, and they can pull the device out. Meanwhile, the cops are just trying to destroy the evil aliens. So the thieves have to go get all the devices before the cops do it, putting them at odds, because if they can reclaim all of the Lupin collection, they get their wish granted, which is to save their loved ones.
Mm.
So, like I said, in this case, we've got the jet dial fighter and stuff with the morpher. Instead of getting another morpher and stuff...
Well, slowing down, the top hat is what you turned?
No. The top hat is kind of the design on the helmet.
No, I meant on
the... it's actually like a safe dial.
Yeah, but I thought... Dial. Okay, so...
It looks a little like
it. It looks like a bit like a top hat. Okay, just checking.
So on the thief side, the red one is a jet fighter-looking thing, and actually is a... It is his particular Zord, okay? The morpher itself isn't the Zord, but the device they use on it is. The yellow one is kind of sort of like a helicopter. It's like a hovercraft with, you know... propellers on the two sides, if you will.
Oh, yeah. That's okay. Cool.
And that's her personal vehicle. And then the blue one is almost more of a prop plane looking thing.
Yeah.
So they're all, you know, aerial based or whatnot. And these are the kinds of guys that would swing in from a distance to go rob the place and dart out. And their catchphrase is they're the thieves that are stirring up a storm.
Nice.
So instead of, again, getting another one of the morphers just to go get the police Red Rangers device, I just bought the device separately. And it's essentially kind of sort of a race car looking thing.
Yeah.
And the difference is all of the thief ones have the dials. They're dial fighters. These don't, because the cops aren't breaking into the safes. These are trigger fighters. And if you look carefully at the back, they've got a trigger in them.
Oh, interesting.
So the dial fighters would go on the top. If you rotate the gun, they'd be on the top of it. The dial fighter, you'd rotate it down, and the trigger becomes the trigger of the gun.
Oh.
So using the same morpher in a little bit different ways for the two teams, I thought was very interesting.
Yeah, it is.
And they have the whole backstory as to how did the thieves get their morphers and stuff? How did the cops get them? And really, that comes into play when we get to the sixth ranger, which technically two teams of three, it's the seventh ranger, but it's called a sixth ranger because normally you have a team of five.
Ah.
But the extra ranger. Before I get there, though, there was red, blue, and yellow on, actually, no, it was, yeah, red, blue, and yellow on the
Thieves.
And then on the cop side, it is red, pink, and green, which in my mind is part of that. And plus it being Lupin Ranger versus Powder Ranger is what made Lupin Ranger kind of, and they were the team to have powers first, the main team of the season. The pink one is also a vehicle, ground-based vehicle with a, I'm trying to think, you know how the cops have like the nightstick?
Yes.
It has like a nightstick kind of a thing that can flip out on the vehicle so it could trip up other things. Again, kind of a weird theming. And then the green one is again another, you know, land-based vehicle kind of a thing. It, trying to think what would be the best theming of it. It's funny because once you get past the first few episodes of a season, and they go for about 50 episodes, 51 in this case, you stop really seeing the individual vehicles usually as individual vehicles, but as the limbs of the big robot.
Yeah, I can see that.
So each of them have three things, and typically the Red Ranger's vehicle becomes kind of the top part, not the torso, but the top part in the head of the robot, and then the other two Rangers become the two arms.
Mm.
Now, you'll know you're missing at that point a torso and legs. Well, in this case, instead of having the Red Ranger be kind of the central piece that they either build on or something like that, or all the pieces kind of assemble, since you only have three per team, they have a character called Goody Striker, who is a small flying jet-looking thing, or when he puts his wings up and his nose down or whatever, it's a car.
Mm-hmm.
Depending if he's flying with the thieves or kind of driving with the cops.
Nice.
But it's the same one who can work with both, and he's a little fickle. Who is he going to team up with this week? So 1 week you'd get the big robot for the thieves, another week you'd get it for the cops. Sometimes you'd get it for both and they team up.
Oh, interesting.
So that was another device, and he's got both the combination dial and the trigger because he works on both teams.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when it came time for them to do the movie, and they do a movie, granted the movie's like half an hour to 45 minutes. It's not like a theatrical, but it is released in theaters.
Mm-hmm.
They introduce Jackpot Striker,
mm-hmm.
which is, it looks very much like just a repaint of Goody Striker, because it is. It's all red versus different colors. But he's got a crown around kind of his dial, and Goody Striker could be used as a power-up for the two teams. For the police, they'd put him on the gun, fire it, whatever, and they would merge, because police operate as a unit.
Yes.
And literally, you'd have the Red Ranger, the pink and green would kind of merge into him, and he'd now have a tricolor scheme, and they're all kind of working in tandem.
Mm-hmm.
Works better once they realize they need to work in tandem, but there was an episode on that, of course. When Goody Striker is using that kind of a power-up for the thieves, it splits the Red Ranger into three.
Oh, interesting.
Because thieves work alone.
Yeah.
With Jackpot Striker, which again is pretty much a repaint and can act also as a main unit for the giant robots, the powers are reversed.
Oh.
You get Lupin Tricolor, who's a merge of the red, blue, and yellow. And while we never saw what would happen with the Red Police Ranger, the theory is he would split into three.
Yeah.
So, again, it's a riff on a theme. It's a reversal of it, but it made sense. And Jackpot Striker was introduced in the movie, and it's not uncommon for what's introduced in the movie to stay in the movie. Like, it's its own little pocket of continuity.
Okay.
Not exactly what happened this time. They actually had some interesting payoff at the end of the season for a lot of what they'd done. And this season was riffing on, let's have two teams versus one, similar powers, not identical. So they took, because this was the 43rd year of the franchise, and you're going back to the well every year. It's like, well, what are we going to do differently? They found some new stuff to do.
Cool.
Now, what I have not talked about here, and what I didn't think to bring down, and it's upstairs, it would take me a little bit to get, I've got another toy, which is the Morpher for the Sixth Ranger.
Mm.
Again, technically the Seventh, arguably the Seventh and Eighth, depending how you look at it. They introduced, and they usually introduce the extra Ranger about 20, 25 episodes in. They tease, and then he gets a full introduction, and boom, he's the big, you know, hero and stuff, more powerful than the others, etc. He was an undercover cop and a thief. He works on both sides. He's got a Morpher, which is kind of, instead of a small gun, almost more of a rifle-looking thing, because it's two trains that can kind of spin around and fire in one direction or the other. Fire it one way and he becomes the Silver Ranger on one team. Fire it the other way, he becomes the Gold Ranger for the other team.
Hmm.
So he was literally playing both sides.
Yeah.
Can they trust him? Can they not? You know, who's he working for? And stuff like that. It was interesting. And then by the time they get 35, 40 episodes out of 50, it's like, well, you know, there's the power escalation issue. You know, you've never got enough power as a ranger, so you've got to get more Zords, more powers, whatever. They introduced the power-ups. In the Power Rangers series, it's the Battleizer frequently. And in this case, they had two. They had one that predominantly Lupin Red used, and it basically gave him kind of an armor sort of a thing on top and the ability to see about 10 seconds into the future and predict the enemy's movement.
Okay.
Which was kind of interesting. And it's like a jumbo jet kind of a thing. And this was, I think it was Victory Striker.
Okay.
They've got the name on these boxes, but the name's in Japanese. So that's why I sometimes, it's like, what was that called again?
We need to work on your kanji.
We absolutely do. If there was one language I wish I kind of could read and understand, it is Japanese for multiple reasons. And then around the time that got introduced, they introduced, actually at the same time, it can open up the front part and it stored another Zord.
Oh, interesting.
Which was the Siren Striker, I think it was, that the Silver Ranger / Gold Ranger tended to use. And it was basically modeled after a tank. So it put armor on him that he could kind of reach out to his sides, because on his shoulders are these big, massive guns. So he's like a walking tank at that point. There was one other power-up that I don't think I got, and I need to kind of rewatch an episode or two to determine if I want to get it or not. And it was another gun, Lupin Magnum, I think it was, for the Red Thief Ranger, Red Lupin Ranger, or Lupin Red, as they would call him. And it was basically a really powerful gun. But since I'm mainly getting the morphers and not the weapons, that's why I didn't, I think, get it. So most of these things, all of these things to activate, they would have to pull the little widget out, put it on the gun, fire it off the gun. It would grow and do its thing or whatever. So they've got cool toys, but it's a long way away from the old days of, you know, the original Power Rangers, where you had literally the morpher, the individual coin for the ranger, and that's it.
Yeah.
Buy the morpher, get all five coins, you're done.
Yeah.
You know, they've turned this into much more of a toy frenzy, but some of what they're doing is actually kind of cool, because these things are also the Zords.
Yeah.
So this is the second or third season in a row that just by getting the morpher, I've gotten most of the Zords. And I got mixed feelings about that, because some of this, you know, it adds up after a while.
Yes.
And some of it's not easy to find. Matter of fact, when we were in Japan, I was looking for a Jackpot Striker.
Yes.
We went with our cousins, and the cousins, we were at one of the stores that would have these kinds of toys. They talked to the guy running the store. He's like, came back to me and said, yeah, you're looking for one of the hard ones to find. I'm like, I know.
Yeah.
Because I had ordered it from an online store that I've been fairly happy with, but they didn't get enough.
Yeah.
There was a shortage of them. So I was able to get one. So I was happy. So this is, again, the morphers and stuff that they did for Lupin Ranger versus Pat Ranger for both teams. Again, I've got one other toy that I didn't bring down, which is the morpher for the Silver / Gold Ranger. And again, the fact that one guy had two forms was very different. So that's what I got for this season. I've gotten stuff for the last many seasons, and I am trying to push back that collection of the morphers.
That's very cool.
It's, for me, it's fun to see the design sense, because it's got kind of that Transformers, okay, flip it, and it turns into something else.
Yeah.
And they assemble together. And just seeing the variations on the theme from year to year.
Yeah, it's very cool.
So if people are interested, or even if they're not, we may do more of these. Because the previous season, 12 Rangers.
Wow.
Lots of toys. Shall we move on?
Yes, please.
Okay, this next collection is something that currently is complete, but in a few years we'll have updates, no doubt.
I love how you say a few years.
Yes, well, this is one that the collection grows over time, as many do. What I've got in front of me is a collection of 16 items from Eagle Moss.
16?
Yeah, 16.
Interesting. Okay, I guessed 14.
I'm thinking 16. We'll count.
Okay.
This is the Doctor Who figures collection. I have finally, I think, collected all of the Doctors and the TARDIS. Got the TARDIS.
Okay. I was guessing the TARDIS. I was guessing 13 Doctors.
And I can get us the other two. So I'm good.
Oh, good.
So I started getting these a while ago because I'd seen them. It's like, hey, that looks cool. I wasn't sold on them at first because they first did the Matt Smith Doctor, and he had the action pose from when he's calling out all the people during the Pandorica incident and whatnot. And I'm like, I just want a standard. He's just being the Doctor, not shouting at people. They basically went to more of that kind of a pose later. But these are all couple inch tall, you know, figures, and they've got a hexagonal base. You can kind of line them all up together.
See, as I recall, when I first saw them, it was the couple inch tall that had me curious if we would like them. In terms of, they're what, 4.5 inches or so?
More like 3.5.
Yeah. I mean, a good size to put on your desk or somewhere like that, but not really something that shows off the costume. Not like the 6 to 12 inch ones do.
Yeah, but they've got a good amount of detail on them.
They really do.
So I kind of like how it's not, oh my God, I've got to allocate a ton of space.
Very true.
This is something where if I had some spare desktop space or shelf space or whatever, it would only take, you know, a foot or so of space to line up all the Doctors and have a, well, it's the full set of Doctors.
Yeah.
Now, how do you get 13 Doctors and 15 figures is your question, I'm sure. Well, and some of this I only recently got because one of them was recently released and two of them, they were out of print effectively, so I had to go chase them down.
Yeah.
Now, each of these also comes with a small magazine that is basically a little bit of the history or something about that actor, that Doctor, and stuff like that.
The War Doctor.
The War Doctor is one of them.
Ah.
Okay. Do you want to start at the beginning or the end of the Doctors? Start with
number one.
All right. That's going to give away what the other one is.
It is?
So we start with the original Doctor, which was William Hartnell, I believe. And I'm not going to give all the Doctor names because I don't remember them all.
Yeah, who does? Don't answer that.
Yeah, bad pun. So that was one of them.
Yes.
So Doctor number one, okay. But if you'll recall recently, what they did before the Jodie Whittaker stuff is they did a story in which the 12th Doctor met the first Doctor. Now, of course, to do that, since the first Doctor, it's been 50 years, he's long since died.
That's right.
They had a new actor play the first Doctor. He's the one who played the guy playing the Doctor in The Adventures in Time and Space, whatever the biography was that we still need to watch on Doctor Who.
Yeah, that's right.
So they did a new figure for him, and I'm like, sure, why not?
Okay. So Doctor 1.5?
Doctor 1 version 2. And we actually have the second Doctor. And again, you get kind of the classic look and stuff, which is what I enjoy about these.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Yeah, I like the costume, the wardrobe on that one.
Yeah. We then get the third Doctor, and he's kind of reaching out with his sonic or whatever.
I was going to say, showing off the sonic.
Yeah. So you get a little bit of the personality and a lot of kind of the costuming and the look of the character.
Yes.
We then get the fourth with the iconic long scarf.
Yeah.
I'm kind of trying to put these back away as I go. The fifth, which is, I think, Peter Davidson. We then get the sixth with a very colorful costume and coat and stuff.
Yeah.
The seventh, which is one of the first ones I think I'd kind of seen stories of.
Oh, interesting.
Not many, but a few. He was also the one that bridged the gap to the new series through the Fox TV movie.
Ah, okay.
Because they kill him off at the beginning. But then, of course, as you correctly guessed at one point, we've got the War Doctor, which is the 7.5 Doctor. This is Paul McGann. Actually, no, I'm sorry. This is the 8th Doctor.
Oh, okay.
This is the 8th Doctor. He was the one from the TV movie. Then we get the War Doctor, which is John Hurt. My bad.
Yes, there you go.
So many Doctors. And then we get, of course, into the modern era, where we've got Christopher Eccleston. We've got, of course, the brilliant David Tennant.
Yes.
Which is one of my favorite Doctors.
Yeah.
But I've got to say Matt Smith and his figure, which is, again, where he's shouting out at the aliens, you know, who wants to take me on or whatever.
Yeah.
I'd have preferred a little bit more of an iconic, you know, give him something with a fez or something like that. And then they do another version of him. But he's a great Doctor, too. But then we get Peter Capaldi in his standard look.
Yeah.
And then the newest of the ones, Jodie Whittaker.
Yeah.
With her kind of new iconic look with the coat and hoodie.
Well, they caught her in motion.
Yeah. They're really walking well. Forward, doing stuff. They tend to capture the sensibility of the Doctor.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the 16th figure I've got is the big TARDIS over here.
Are they doing the companions?
They have done various companions, and there's actually another collection of them that they've started out that I'm getting, which is starting with the 4th Doctor era. It's the TARDIS console.
Oh, interesting.
So I'm like, that seems like a cool idea.
Yeah.
So I did that, but they're also coming out with figures that are the Doctor and the Companion as two packs or whatever. And I'm like, well, I've already got the Doctor, so I don't really need that. And I'm not, I mean, don't get me wrong. Some of the Companions, I think, are really great characters.
Yeah.
Amy Pond, Clara, a couple of the others. But this is one that I wanted something to kind of represent the Doctor. I love the small TARDIS, big compared to the Doctor's, but you know what I mean. Figure and stuff. And this is like a desk size collection.
Yeah. Well, and it's set up to where you can basically have the Doctors surround the TARDIS.
Yeah.
That's nice. Yeah.
The other thing I've started getting, and I've not done enough of an inventory to really track down which ones I've got, which ones I may need. The other thing that's iconic about the Doctors is the sonic screwdriver.
Yes.
And they've released sonic screwdrivers.
Yeah.
And there was some of them on sale a little while ago on Amazon. I'm like, well, for $10, $15, I'll pick that one up. I'll pick this one up. So I've got like I've got the one from the 13th Doctor, the 12th Doctor, like the 11th and some of the more recent. But I think I've also got the 3rd, the 4th or something like that.
Very cool.
I'm not certain every Doctor has had a Sonic.
Oh, interesting.
Because I think there was one or two where they kind of stripped him of the Sonic and the TARDIS just to... You know, well, Batman's more than the utility belt sort of a thing.
Yes, yeah.
But man, to get one or two of these, like the Eccleston one, and I forget if it was the 4th Doctor or one of the other ones, it took me a while to find somewhere online that had it.
Yeah.
And ordered it, and it took a little while to get here and such.
Very cool.
But I think they're cool stuff. I'm looking forward, like I said, to getting all the different TARDISes.
Yeah.
The TARDIS generally looks the same, but again, just that center console and stuff, it's like, that's a clever idea, and it's iconic with the Doctor.
Yeah, exactly.
So like I said, thought that was cool, thought it'd be worth sharing.
Yeah, nice.
Anything else?
I think that does it.
Cool.
The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.